Hello. It is risk-free, same-game parlay, Thursday Night Football, Thursday, October 21st, 2021 years after zero. Big show today. Ian Rappaport comes by and chit-chats and breaks some news. Carissa Thompson, host of the Calm Down podcast with Aaron Andrews and on Fox NFL Kickoff on Sunday, stops by for a great conversation. The boys are on fire. AJ Hawk's here for a bit. I mean, let's have a day. And tonight, if you are in a state that has FanDuel Sportsbook, I'm looking at you, Connecticut. Welcome to the party. You need to get on our same game parlay because tonight, although there's a lot of questions and who's going to play and how's going to play and all that shit, our same game parlay is going to hit. It's risk-free. And let's celebrate that. Let's get to these conversations, shall we? It is risk-free, same-game parlay, Thursday Night Football, Thursday, and this show begins right now. Yeah! It's October 21st, and today's a day that we will talk about for years and years, because today will be the first day that against all the odds, we will hit a risk-free same-game parlay against FanDuel on FanDuel Sportsbook as a team of thousands
and thousands.
And we're going to rake in millions
and millions.
People are going to talk about this forever. We're going to talk about this next week as the same-game parlay gets just as hot as the Super Boost, which is hit three in a row. And now tonight's Thursday Night Football game is not an easy one to predict on what the fuck's going to happen because, to be honest, we don't know who the fuck's going to play. Mm-hmm. Broncos getting 1 point going into Cleveland. It was 3.5. It was 2.5. It was 2. Now it's 1. Baker Mayfield not starting, but he's not going on IR. He's going to get surgery after the season. He's going to have to battle the pain threshold of having a torn labrum in his arm. So Case Keenum starting. I don't know what that means. I don't know if Baker's going to feel better next week with a torn labrum. I don't think it just gets better. Like, that's something that is...
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not...
Yeah. It's torn.
Torn.
Painful.
It's very painful. It is going to be very painful. This isn't just going to like, hey, you need to put some ice on it. It's going to grow back together. That's it's going to hurt tonight. It's going to hurt next week. So what does that mean? Maybe just with the short week, they're letting Baker get over what happened to him on Sunday when that thing got separated again. Hopefully he's healthy in the long run. Everybody knows he wants to play. But tonight, we got to bank on Case Keenum. What do we know with Case Keenum? We know that he has been great before. We know that Case Keenum... with Kevin Stefanski, who's now the head coach and play caller for the Cleveland Browns, when they were together at Minnesota, he did some great things, earned a contract actually somewhere else. So maybe tonight with Jarvis Landry probably coming off of IR.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if he's probably coming off IR, expect him to play tonight. So everybody's thinking he should, he might, who knows. The mixed reports are coming out about Jarvis coming out of IR and playing tonight with Case Keenum. It's a Thursday night. Would you want to bring him back in a short week as opposed to getting another 10 days out coming off IR? Who knows? Odell Beckham Jr., maybe he's playing. He hasn't practiced, I guess. So it is very difficult to predict what the fuck's going to happen tonight, but we did it.
Hell yeah.
The council in this office that included at Ty Schmidt, at Boston Connor, the Toxic Table, and more importantly, the council that included a man who is on a heater when it comes to same game parlays, host of Hammer, Don, the COVID Cowboy, at Tone Diggs. Tone, you might have threaded the needle in the, tonight, pal. Well, there was a lot of give and take. There was a lot of conversation on what we need to bet on, what we don't need to bet on. I think our same game parlay tonight is a guarantee.
Hell yeah.
At Tone Diggs, your thoughts, pal? You were deep in the sports book trying to find the bets and the props that we could add into the same game parlay to get it above the agreed to odds that it had to be and below the agreed to odds that it had to be, certain amount of bets. This is what we and FanDuel have decided upon with this risk-free same game parlay that has seen 44,000 on one of them.
Damn.
Last week, 38,800. Tonight, we don't know much about the game, but we do know some bets. And Tone was digging in there deep for us. Tone, your thoughts on tonight's game and inevitably the same game parlay when it officially gets dropped onto FanDuel Sports.
Tonight's game was the hardest same game parlay of all time to predict. We had around 600 possible variations of the same game parlay that we were going to do.
I mean, a lot of conversation.
We looked hard. We looked at how each defense and offenses were against running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, how they were against the run game, the pass game, these quarterbacks fare on the road, at home, in weather. We looked at everything, and we came up with what we thought was the best opportunity to win the same game parlay tonight and potentially bankrupt FanDuel. And I think we did a good job.
Now, to be clear, $1 billion was made in New Jersey in 1 month, or was gambled in 1 month in New Jersey. Okay, so we're not going to bankrupt FanDuel tonight. Guess what we're doing? Tonight, finally, we break ground.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Tonight, we finally break ground on our mission to do what you just said to FanDuel. Tonight, it is the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the risk-free same-game parlay. It hit last week.
Yep.
It hit.
Mm-hmm. It did.
And then
Tom said, beep, 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 boop.
Yeah. What's that guy's deal?
Well, he's not a mathematist, because the number we needed that he decided to drop the old subtraction in front of, -1, -1, gets us underneath there. That was supposed to be a celebration. Everybody from here to Ontario, California was going to be celebrating in all the side of the East Coast, obviously. I forgot. Yeah, because this just covers all people on that side, too.
Statue of Liberty.
We were looking for everybody to celebrate. Right. Tonight's the night. This Broncos-Browns game, to be honest, no, we don't have a fucking idea of what's going to happen. But joining us now is a man who might know.
What?
A guy who's actually boots on the ground in the state in which the game will be taking place.
Oh, wow.
A college football national champion, a Super Bowl champion, a Ryder Cup champion, joining us earlier than ever, ladies and gentlemen, A.J. Hawk.
What's up, guys?
Sup, dude?
Oh, I saw you post this. I looked at that picture. I was like, why does he have this? And I saw the hands like 25 seconds later.
Yeah.
After I first saw it.
Yeah, well, I was trying to figure out. Whoa. I was trying to figure out whether or not I draw the attention to the hands with the post, or I just kind of let it sit there and let everybody see it. Those are just what? That's just one slide in, right, of your hands?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whose geriatric hands did you find for that? Or who made that, I should say?
Things are getting sent to our office now. And there's been a couple things that have been sent to our office that made me actually tell everybody, hey, we got to change the way we speak around here, because some of the shit that's showing up should not be showing up at the office, okay? We do not need AJ.
Like dildos or what?
Well,
it was towards you mostly.
Yeah. You're warm, I mean, for
sure. It was slanderous against you mostly. So
that's okay.
No, it's not, all right? No, it's not. I don't appreciate it. This was like one of six things that showed up, and it was very disparaging towards you.
The most PG of all.
So I just want to let you know, it's a nice gift. People seem to love you and understand that you have, very fucked up fingers, and that is just kind of how it's got to go tonight. AJ, Broncos Browns. We over here were literally talking for the last couple hours about how this thing is going to go. The line moved while we're in the middle of this conversation. This Thursday night football game, I don't think any of us have a clue what the hell is going to happen, unless you do. Do you understand and think what you got a good handle on what's going to happen tonight?
I mean, do you think anybody? Do you think even the coaches have any idea what's going to happen tonight? We don't know who's in, who's out yet. We don't know what Case Keenum will be like. OBJ, do we have any kind of idea on what OBJ's status is?
No, he might play. And then look at this tweet regarding Jarvis Landry about tonight's game. James Palmer TV is reporting. Ooh. For the Browns, wide receiver Jarvis Landry should probably be activated off IR today, per sources. If that officially happens, expect him to play. For OBJ, he has a significant shoulder injury. I'm told it's an uphill battle to go tonight, but don't rule him out completely just yet. What was that? Excitement, then a downer, then a little excitement at the end there. James Palmer took me on a fucking ride in 280 characters right there, AJ Hawk.
Yeah, James Palmer's he's a poet. I mean, it's basically like saying, hey, the Broncos might win tonight, but hey, they could also lose.
Mm. I think Roger Goodell might have crafted that tweet.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Yeah.
Just to keep it, I don't know.
It was beautifully.
Do people care about this?
No, yeah. But it was beautifully stated, but it said nothing. And that's what Roger Goodell, you know what I mean? This is a high ranking politician, Roger Goodell. Not that stooge from the MLB. What's his name?
Bob Manfred.
Not Bob Manfred. This is an elite speaker tweet here. Said a lot. But at the end of the day, had a couple probablys in there, expected twos, kind of a way to get maybe, who knows, we'll see how it goes. So everything is up in literal question. Like, is Jarvis going to play? We don't know. Chubb Hunt, they're both out.
Yep,
is OBJ going to play? We don't know. Is Case Keenum going to play? Yes, we've been told. But now we're also being told that Baker Mayfield not getting surgery till after the season.
So what's the pain difference of playing on a Thursday versus next Sunday? It's not like that thing's going to heal. I guess the inflammation's going to go down, but that thing's going to go up immediately upon getting one hit in the first play of any game. I don't really understand anything happening in Cleveland right now, AJ.
I mean, it does seem like they're at a weird spot in their season where things could go one way or the other. It doesn't look like they have a great chance to improve. I mean, when your starting quarterback has a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder, yeah, I guess it's just how much pain he can tolerate and how he can manage that throughout the rest of the season. Yeah, you're right. It's not going to heal, but maybe the swelling, a little of it goes down and he feels 20% better next game.
Yeah, well, that swelling is going to go right back up immediately upon one, which is inevitable, right? Like that's
yeah, and he moves around the pocket. You know, he likes to buy time. Like he's going to have to – I'm sure he's already been adjusting how he plays, but now he's really going to have to worry about getting hit.
And there's no rain tonight in Cleveland. There was predicted rain, and then now allegedly there's no rain coming off
the
lake.
There's rain till about 6:30, and then it clears up, and it's just going to be a little windy, like 18 miles an hour.
Always breezy in Cleveland coming off that lake, but with the wind always comes questionable weather patterns as well, right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that if it's windy, that means it could rain. It's predicted not – we don't know what the I don't know what the meteorologist track record is over there in Cleveland. I would assume it's not easy with
a big weather show now. Like no, we really like to update the
weather. You have no idea, AJ. The council this morning trying to figure out this same game parlay. We got because you open your weather app on your phone and you just see the little squiggly lines next to the city you're in and the time. That means hey, it's going to be windy as shit.
Yep.
Okay, it is going to be wildly windy. With the wind, we don't know what's going to come. Maybe a little bit of a mist, a rain, maybe. But they're saying rain stopping at 6:30. Look for the ball to potentially be able to fly out of Case Keenum's hand. Look for maybe Teddy Bridgewater to be able to connect with Cortland and Tim Patrick.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's good a couple players. Ball players over there that have averaged a lot of yards these last couple weeks and. You know, how's Melvin going to do in the backfield? Von Miller says he's going to kill somebody. All right. He said, I don't know who's playing tackle. Nobody does. There's another thing. We just talked about the weapons and everything like that. Offensive line for the Cleveland, nobody knows who's playing either. I mean, it is massive question marks everywhere in the land or whatever. But Case Keenum said, I tried to text Von Miller to ask him what was that about. He's going to kill somebody. He must change his number. Must change his number, he said. Case Keenum on Von Miller's kill the tackle comment. I think he changed his number. I tried to text him. Tonight, a lot of storylines potentially if both these teams were humming, but now it's just big question marks, AJ.
When do they turn in the final report of who is up and who is down? Is that 90 minutes before or 2 hours?
I was about to say, I think it is an hour and a half. I think it's an actual time. Uh-huh. Connor, your thoughts on tonight?
Well, you know, Jimmy Palmer did craft that tweet, you know, wonderfully, but he does say in there, Pat, do not rule him out completely. So that means you can rule him out about 75%. So I personally believe Jarvis will go, Odell will sit down, and then we'll see what happens with, you know, old D'Ernest Johnson and Dimitri Felton out of the backfield for the Brownies.
Helen. Hell in a Cell is starting right now.
Oh, yeah.
Hell in
a
Cell is starting right now in Riyadh.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Right now. It's
just lowered the cage.
Lowered the cage. The lights are good. Seth looks
Holy
pissed.
Shit.
Seth Rollins is furious. He's in a cage in Saudi Arabia staring down a man who called him Edge Light just a couple weeks ago. Woo. That's going on right now. Yeah.
How long are they there?
The game's going to be like.
We got SmackDown tomorrow night. So. I'm not sure, man. I have no idea.
Wait, oh, so some of them are coming back for SmackDown?
Some. What are you talking about?
All of them?
Yeah. Basically. New rosters, dude. New rosters on SmackDown from the draft a couple weeks ago. Everybody's going to be there.
Wake up, dude.
Turnaround. Wow.
Nah, believe me, I can't wait to see Cole tomorrow night.
Oh, man.
How you doing, dude? I'm fucking low energy, dude.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, bro. Wakey, wakey, bro. Start speaking a little about magic out there. It should be a pretty good run today.
Is there a possibility, you know, they might be a few guys short? Who knows how the travel goes and maybe – no. You maybe have to get back in the ring at some point.
Oh, don't you give me that.
I'm just saying it might happen.
No, the body isn't ready. I'm used to talking. I thought maybe they were going to call in maybe AJ Hawk to come commentate.
Oh, well, it's in Kansas, correct?
Wichita.
Wichita?
Go stay at Jordy's house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or
Go stay at Jordy's house.
Bring Jordy into the ring, perhaps.
With athlete. His softball bat?
Yeah.
He'll ride one of his cows in.
See, that's what we're doing tonight. We're riding our cash cow. That's that guy. We're riding Cash Cow right in Cash Town on this same game parlay night.
Milk that cow.
Milk that cow. Milk that cow. Milk that cow.
Diggs loves
Cash Cow. Huh?
Yeah. Diggs loves being milked. He told me that years ago.
Well, I'm not 100% sure if that's the case. That's a conversation for you two to be had. But it does seem like there's a lot of pressure on Tone today. because of how hot his same game parlays have been in the NBA for him to help us out. But that's really the everybody's leading off with basketball. And by the way, 25th time, just got this stat from Tony Stats right before we went live. 25th time in the history of existence that all major sports have some sort of game today. So MLB's playing playoff baseball. That's so much fun. Hey,
oh man!
Saw Justin Turner pull his hammy last night. 36-year-old on his way to first base. Saw it live. T's and P's of the hammy, pal.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, hey, good baseball being played around here. Red Sox got just dog walked.
Oh yeah!
Don't let us win Friday though. Don't you?
Was that in Houston or Boston? I saw the score.
That was in Boston. They got to go back to Houston. Win.
So they can't claim cheating at home for the Astros anymore, right?
Well, I mean, you still can. It looked like they greased the balls a little bit so they could see what type of pitch was coming.
But every single one of the balls? Because don't they change out those balls like every single pitch?
Right. Yeah, well, so like what 400
well, what the catcher does is he throws a little dirt on it. You can see it a little easier when it's spinning one way or the other. And all of a sudden, they're hitting home runs. I don't know. That's just what they're saying.
Their pitcher leaking like a faucet when it's 55 degrees out.
Bubba Gumpino lost a lot of money on, I believe, on the Red Sox, and a lot of joy out of his life whenever they got their asses beat by Houston. But baseball's happening again. Mm-hmm. Hockey's happening again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, shout out to hockey.
Shout out
to That's Hockey Talk last night. It was a lot of fun with old Rupper, Gumpy, and Nick telling stories. Learned that Chara, who's the big stud that used to be on the Bruins, he's a legend for the Islanders, though.
Whoa.
And I believe he's on the Cap. No.
He was on the Capitals last year.
He's a big, tall, 6'9" guy. I guess he would actually, in hockey, I learned this on That's Hockey Talk last night from Rupper, who's maybe one of my new favorite people.
Oh, yeah.
Weapon.
This guy's a fucking maniac.
He's a beaut. He's a beaut.
He's a beaut. Absolute beaut. He said that Chara would bend over like before the face-off because Rupp was also a bit of a grunt out there. You know, like, hey, a goon, he's going to go get in the fight. And Chara would ask him, will you do me the honor of fighting me or something like that? And Rupp's like, nah, we got third period, man. Like, he's negotiating, he said, with Chara. They end up going up 3-0, and Chara is standing at the other end, and I guess he's like, Rupper, like, we got to do this. So Rupp had to go walk into a fight with a guy who's never lost, basically, who's 6'9", and Rupp was 6'5", I guess. I guess he is 6'5".
Big
he might be. I don't
he
know.
Might be smaller by now.
I'm not 100% sure. But normally when he would fight, he was bigger than everybody. He fights a guy who's 6'9". He throws a right, hits him in the fucking elbow. So that's how far is that away from the head? You got no shot there. And then Chara thanked him afterwards. And then Chara got a standing O, kind of skated off. What a legend Chara and Rupp is, obviously. Hockey's happening, AJ.
Hell yeah.
Hockey's
happening. Yes, I've seen a little bit of hockey actually live. Now, Chara, I wasn't aware of. He's on the Islanders now. Obviously, I know who he is. I've watched him play. Such an intimidating figure. Is Rupper really 6'5"?
Yeah, that's how he described it in the story. I don't know if that's with skates or not.
6'7" with skates. Yeah, 6'8".
Chara is 6'11" with skates, I believe.
You're talking about titans clashing on the ice.
Yeah.
And one of them just like, will you do me the honor of fighting me?
Please.
Please. I have to. I got to see here.
That's way more scary than a guy that is like talking trash and he's yelling and he's grunting at you. Like, that's much scarier what Chara's doing.
So hockey's happening. Shout out to That's Hockey Talk, by the way. You guys are doing a great job there. Live every Wednesday, youtube.com/ That's Hockey Talk. We appreciate what you guys are doing, by the way. Keep me updated on hockey. Basketball's happening. How you doing? Keep moving. NBA. Ben Simmons. What's going on over there? He didn't have a phone in his pocket. He had a jersey in his pocket.
Breaking
news via the Pat McAfee show, via Sham Sharania of The Athletic in the Stadium.
Yeah.
Boom.
Anyway.
Was that really breaking news?
Yeah.
And then the jersey thing?
Yeah, the jersey. He had a phone in his pocket. It very much looked like a phone in his pocket. That was huge news because that's how much he didn't care to be there, which is why Doc kicked him out. Shams comes in and said, actually, not a cell phone, even though it did look like he didn't care much. He didn't actually have his phone out there looking for trades in the middle of practice. It was his practice jersey. Boom, that became a story on the internet. The NBA only does well on Twitter, I've learned.
Yeah.
NBA big Twitter platform. YouTube, people are like, maybe it's just us. Nobody gives a fuck about us talking about it, which we're spending so much time right now on it. We probably shouldn't. I mean, what
Sports
are we doing?
Equinox is what you're talking about, by the way.
Bingo. Sports Equinox is happening because the NFL is also happening. And WWE.
Oh, yeah.
So this is one. This might be the first time in history that this has happened. I'm not 100% sure, but it is a great day to be a sports fan, and we got to talk about all of it. We have Carissa Thompson from Fox NFL Kickoff and the Calm Down podcast with Aaron Andrews joining us in about 9 minutes. My wife listens to this podcast.
Oh, really?
Good pod.
Yeah, she says she likes it. She says she likes the podcast. I'm excited. We should probably listen a little bit too. AJ, you listening?
I've actually seen clips of this online that they post.
Bingo. Me too. I haven't listened to a full episode. I was trying to do the classic. Normally I would I would claim that I did listen to the podcast right. because I saw a 35-second clip.
Sure.
Normally, I'd be like, yeah, see, now I listen. I love it all the time. In this particular case, I just wanted to let everybody know it's not me. My wife is actually listening, though.
There you go.
So we got Ears of the Ground. And then we have Ian Rappaport joining us in the next hour to break down. Maybe he'll be able to paint a clearer picture for what the fuck's going on tonight. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll be able to find out who's coming, who's going. And there's a big story surfacing around the NFL right now about who's going where. And Ian Rappaport had told us this since the very beginning, that there were teams interested in Deshaun Watson. We were all mind blown. We were all flabbergasted. We had no idea how or why, especially with 26 very serious or 22 very serious allegations happening off the field. We are all very much on the mindset that that has to get handled before anything on the field can be handled, because why and how would you be able to focus on football with this serious of shit happening in real life? Then as the world continued to unfold and the days continued to go by, he wasn't placed on the commissioner's exemption list. He was at practice. He still didn't want to be there. He wasn't playing. He's still on the team. That he's not on the team. The allegations have not gone away. Allegedly, the NFL did an investigation. Who knows? Last night, it got real hot on the internet that Deshaun was going to Miami. This all started with John McClain.
Oh, yeah.
He's been around a long time down there in the Houston Chronicle. He said that the Texans Dolphins could have a Deshaun Watson deal done this week.
Whoa.
AJ, the internet was abuzz immediately upon this being announced, obviously.
When you first read it, you're like, oh, okay, he's there. Like, they made the trade. This already happened. Then you look and you start to see, like, what they're mentioning, like, three-team deals and all of this stuff.
Bingo.
There has to be, like, John McClain's been doing this forever. So there obviously is something to this. They've been working on this. Like, do you think it gets done?
Okay, so John McClain has been around Houston forever. He knows people. Here's to your point. Here's Cody M. Davis, also from Houston, at CodyDavis_24. In regards to the Texans closing in on a deal that would send Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins, I am hearing that it could be a three-team deal that would send Tua to the Washington football team, Deshaun to Miami, and then who knows what else would happen on the back end for the Texans to get something back in return. And they said they wanted, what, three players and a pick or something like that was the initial asking. So then you start seeing tweets from people outside of Houston that immediately start saying, I'm being told no chance. This is not happening. This is not true. Tua to Washington, somebody tweeted. We're hearing, J.P. Finley at J.P. Finley NBCS. All right, JP. Got a hard no when I checked on the Washington's interest in Tua. It's all BS. Okay, so Washington allegedly out now, if you listen to JP Finley, who once again is a reporter outside of Houston that is reporting about the trade that could potentially happen. There was others that said they heard nothing. Somebody in Denver tweeted something about, Marcel Louis Jacques.
Yep, boom, nailed it.
Oui, Marcel Louis Jacques. NFL landscape is fluid, but in regard to trades involving Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, and Deshaun Watson, a source close to the situation texts me, rumors are false. So who's leaking information to John McClain, who's been around a long time? Why are they leaking that information? Who benefits from that information being leaked? Is this real? Maybe. This has been talked about for the last couple weeks. Still, once again, makes no sense to any of us because all the serious shit happening off the field, but it sounds like Houston's given information that something's happening. Why would they want to do that? Maybe it makes their fans appreciate them more. Maybe it makes the league look like, hey, we are interested in shopping. Maybe they're putting that information out. Miami, Washington, who knows what they're leaking. AJ, we don't know shit about fuck right now about anything, it feels like, AJ.
I mean, that sums it up perfectly, I think, when we look at this situation, especially the fact that we don't know Deshaun Watson, his legal situation. Is the league going to suspend him? Like, do we have any idea what that looks like? And couldn't it be that, the Dolphins are trying to trade Tua. They would love to have Deshaun Watson, but there's not a whole lot of teams jumping out there trying to give much to get Tua.
Okay, so Tua, obviously, who knows how that thing goes? Because if you're
damage is done already for the Dolphins, if they want to salvage and think that Tua is their guy, like, damage is already done.
Well, this was leaked weeks ago, and we got buried by Dolphins fans as it being all bullshit. And by the way, this might still all be bullshit because
there's no way it's no way it's 100% garbage. There has to have been something. People have been looking into this at some point in the front offices.
Remember, the owner allegedly said "Hey, I want Deshaun Watson or whatever." And it gets even more conflicted because Howie Roseman, I don't know if he was on record or he told somebody who went on to a radio show in Philly. Howie Roseman was interested in Deshaun Watson, so much so they sent an investigator down to Houston and then to talk to the NFL about everything going on and talk to Deshaun's legal team. And then it ultimately, Deshaun didn't want to play in Philadelphia. So that's alleged another story that's coming out. So Philadelphia, Howie Roseman, and who knows how we feel about Howie Roseman.
Right.
I don't know anything about Howie Roseman. I know there's a lot of conversation outside about Howie Roseman. I've never met the dude. Seems like he does have a building that was on fire. Will they be able to put it out? Maybe. Who knows? I don't know that whole thing. But if he sent an investigator down to talk to the legal team and also around Houston is how it was portrayed in the quote or whatever, what does that mean to everything that's going on off the field for Deshaun? Has Deshaun played football? Like, has he played football in a while? Because if you're trading Tua out in Miami, that means Deshaun's starting week one. I don't think he's played in, what, 8, 9 weeks, 10 weeks? Mm-hmm. Has he done anything? It's a wild situation that I assume we'll watch unfold here, but trade deadline's coming up November 2nd. I assume that's why Houston's trying to maybe drum up some interest, and who knows what's real and what isn't.
Well, like with the Washington thing, I mean, you guys would know more, but like he's never going to say that mid-season, is he? I mean, I guess you could have like a source leak something and be like, yeah, this is a done deal, but like they have a game on Sunday. There's no way that someone within the building is going to be saying like, oh yeah, we're trying to get to a, you know, out of here soon. And like you said, the Texans now at this point, like they need to get rid of him. You know, they don't know what's going to happen, but like he's not going to play for them again, and they have all this money like attached to him. If they want to get better and quickly, like they have to move on from him. They have to get rid of him.
Speaking of moving on, the Raiders seem to be doing just that with John Gruden. I don't know if you heard what Josh Jacobs said after their big win against the Broncos in Denver. Paul Gutierrez at P. Gutierrez ESPN tweets, man, in quotes, man. The sideline was just so, it was like, wasn't no anxiety. It was weird. It was like everybody was calm. You didn't have somebody cussing at you or going crazy at the refs. None of that something bad happening. Like, okay, next play. Raiders running back Josh Jacobs on what it was like post-Gruden on the Las Vegas Raiders sideline. You know, a little bit, now I'm not saying that this is the same situation, but when a coach is fired and somebody else comes in and has to do something, there's a fresh energy, right? Everybody feels like they got to prove themselves again to somebody. Everybody, maybe things that you wanted to try for a long time that you weren't able to do, now with the new, maybe you'll be able to try it out. That could be a complete culture change in there, the way things are operated. I'd assume that Football Rich,
yeah,
Paizon Richie, Paizon, AJ?
Yep, I know.
I assume he's probably going to run it a little bit differently than John Gruden was, a special teams guy who seems to be beloved by everybody. Had Josh Jacobs loves it. It seems like the results are in the same fashion everybody else does. And who knows? What if old Football Richie, Paizon Rich Bisaccia, gets the head coaching job forever in Las Vegas? Good for him.
I mean, if they make the playoffs, there's no way you can get rid of Football Richie. And now that like the team itself seems to be backing him, you got to stick with the guy.
Got to. Let's go around. Jimmy G talking about his calf, AJ.
Mm-hmm. First off, going real quick back to that Josh Jacobs, that was not a subtle dig at John Gruden. Like, that's pretty direct. Hey, this guy was a spaz.
Yeah.
We don't have him anymore. Like, that's what it sounds like.
That was a crow hop. Pow!
Boom!
That's what that was. Very, yes, very much. And I assume that maybe, I don't know how other media people read it, but as soon as I read it, I actually said, ooh, Josh Jacobs burying John Gruden. That is, because those words, you know, you can choose to answer that two different ways. And by the way, we're at this point, but if the Raiders go, think about if the Raiders go, that'd be insane over there. Now, granted, Chiefs seem to have found them the team that they have been for the last couple years in the second half there. Allegedly, Patrick Mahomes has come out and said, the team laughed in his face when they watched that interception where he bobbled the snap, picked it up, and then the ball came out literally as a kickoff. Like this, and it was intercepted. He said, Rob Collins at Fox 4 Kansas City, which is the same news station that hits the hard-hitting news research of X Factor and Red Extreme, yep, battling in the stadium in Chiefs Kingdom. Rob Collins of that same station peers with Jared Kittle's dad. Everybody started laughing in the film room when watching the interception against Washington. Look, they're all past it. Isn't that right, AJ? They're all past it. By the way, there are some things that happen in games in those team meetings where there's a laser pointer potentially on something, and there is quite a comedy sesh that happens in some of those game recaps.
Oh, yeah. You always, like, away from the play, some guy is stumbling for 15 yards and he ends up falling on his head or something. Like, there's always some good stuff happening.
Yeah, only when you win, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, if you lose, yeah. If you lose, that they're gonna, you may, they, that kid may get shot in the face right there in the team.
Jeez.
I'm telling the difference in attitude between the coaching staff and the difference in the room, how it feels from a win to a loss.
Okay, a little extreme, but I think you were just trying to put it in perspective like Gary Vee. Right, whatever he thinks about it. It was a little bit of extreme, a little bit of an extreme perspective putter, but you're right. After a win, everybody can laugh about that type of stuff. If that was a loss, the fake technical fundamental coaching that would have, remember, you got to get good, screw the ball here, like that, that type of bullshit, you know, that comes out of that whole thing. I don't know if that's how Andy Reid would ever do anything with Patrick Mahomes. I'm just telling you what it would have been like where I was. Some of those meetings are hilarious. Some of them are, okay, talking to us like we're 12-year-olds. Awesome. This is great. I guess we deserve this. Let's move on. Now that the world's opening back up, so many new thrills or on the horizon.
Okay.
And whether you've been in a relationship for years or just getting started, we're excited to get back out there and meet new people.
Hell yeah.
When the moment comes, it's not come too quick.
Oh, here we go. I get it.
That is not what they had in their copy.
Okay. They should.
That was, I think they're going in a different direction, so let's go back a sentence or two.
Okay.
When the moment comes, you want to be ready.
Hell yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, ooh, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Once you take care of that, though, you get the Roman swipes, and guess what?
Lasts a long time.
Banging a.
Yeah, it's Pete Alonso at the at the Home Run Derby.
Boom. That's right.
Dingers.
Downtown.
Bingo.
Population,
you, dude.
Hell yeah.
Roman Ready equals confidence. The confidence that you know you can rise to the occasion in the moment. We're looking at the Summer of Love 2021 version, and Roman wants to make sure you can participate in your way. Whether that be as a single person or a couple who would still rather stay in with each other, a U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2-day shipping.
Okay. Ooh. That's huge.
Free?
The shipping's free.
Wow.
I believe. Not the
medication.
Free 2-day shipping.
Yeah.
Go to GetRoman.com/McAfee today, and if you're prescribed, you can get 50% off your first month of ED treatment.
Okay.
That's GetRoman.com/MCAFEE. And if you're prescribed, you can get 50% off your first month of erectile dysfunction treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control this summer. Roman Ready. Hey, our boost, our same game parlay, our risk-free same game parlay is officially up on FanDuel Sportsbook. Listen to this, AJ Hawk. Melvin Gordon, 25-plus rushing yards. How you doing? Keep it moving.
Here we
He's splitting time in the backfield. He has gone over 25, I think, basically every single. Case Keenum, 225-plus passing yards. His over-under is actually just at 219.5, which is what we had originally selected over 219.5. They came back and asked if it could be the 225-plus passing yards alternate amount because that'll set the tone a little bit more for the odds to remain the same throughout the day. We said, sure, but if that thing lands at 222 yards, we will be heartbroken. Cortland Sutton, 70-plus receiving yards. He and Teddy Bridgewater have a great connection through the weeks. He does well, as does Tim Patrick, 40-plus receiving yards for him. Now, granted, Myles Garrett is going to potentially eat, and it might be tough for Teddy, who has a little bit of a quad. Think he's going to be able to throw for at least 110 yards, hopefully, between those two. Think Melvin's going to be able to run, and also believe that Case Keenum, especially with Jarvis Landry being back, is going to be able to connect on more passes than anybody could imagine. AJ, your initial thoughts on that particular same game parlay that is currently sitting at plus 771.
Wow.
Okay. $10 wins you $77. Risk-free. Let's go. Let's go and hammer this thing, AJ Hawk.
I mean, it seems very doable, all of those things. So if you had to pick one thing out of the four, what's the toughest that you're most worried about?
Case Keenum, 225.
Yeah. Easy.
Really?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Von Miller says he's going to kill a guy. Von Miller says he's going to kill a guy, AJ. I have no idea how Case Keenum is going to do. Can you hit that show more on there, too? So Melvin Gordon, 25-plus yards. That can happen anytime. One play, how you doing? Keep it moving. Cortland Sutton, 70-plus yards. That could be 3-4 plays. That could happen. Tim Patrick, same thing. Did not know this guy existed. Then Diggs read off a bunch of stats about him. Hell of a football player.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater likes throwing him the ball. Let's go ahead and do that thing. The 225-plus, us giving up 6 yards on the actual total of over-under yards for Case Keenum is the thing I am worried about. But it also made the boost much bigger than what it could have been, which is like 5-something. It jumped up to plus 770-something.
Also, if this game stinks, and there's a good chance it may stink, we're still invested for all four quarters here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
These things are all live.
That's right. That's right.
We got live action out there.
Oh, yeah.
Literally throughout all four quarters. And we'll be joined by Ian Rappaport in about 4 minutes or so. And hopefully we'll have a little bit more information as the breaking news on injuries out of Cleveland continues to roll out here today. He broke last hour that Jarvis Landry's back.
Hell yeah.
What does that mean about Odell Beckham Jr.? What does that mean about Case Keenum? Is Case Keenum more comfortable with tight ends throughout the history of his quarterbacking? Yes. He has that big play to Stephon Diggs. Everybody knows that. But if you look at the Broncos defense, they're like 7th in the NFL against tight ends and then like 20-something against wide receivers. And the Browns are like 3rd in the league against tight ends and then something bad against wide receivers. This is the amount of information and research we did this morning to try to piece together this same game parlay on a game that we know absolutely nothing about. AJ,
who was their third string quarterback? The Browns.
Baker.
I believe Nick Mullins was moved up from the practice squad. He's the backup for tonight.
Nick Mullins from San Fran?
Yeah,
that's good.
Don't let that dude get in and get hot. We've seen what he can do. That guy's a stud.
So you're thinking if Case Keenum starts out a little bit chilly?
Not even that. No, I'm saying if Von Miller follows through on what he said he's going to do. Well, if he kills the tackle, I would imagine the quarterback's going to get some collateral damage as well.
Yeah, we need him not to die. We need Case Keenum not to die. Case Keenum knows that this night could be one of the biggest nights of his career. There's been a lot of questions asked about... I don't know what's going on right now.
I was waiting for you to see how this was playing out.
Insane.
Oh, you watch the wrestling situation happening?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did Bob Backlund come back?
No. Mustafa Ali, I think, just got a win, and now he's exiting the ring as a man in a gi just showed up with his...
Is it Dwight Freeney's guys?
Nah, similar gi. It is a red belt. Is that better than a... What is a red belt?
Well, he just allegedly said that he was a silver medalist in the Tokyo Olympics, this guy.
This guy?
Yeah. So.
Might be a blood belt.
Mustafa, too. Get out of there. Oh, my God. No.
Oh, my God.
Mustafa, good night.
Oh, that was night.
Holy
night.
Holy shit. Crowd's going wild.
They are going banana land over there. Jesus.
Hometown hero?
I'm happy. Hometown hero, silver medalist. Oh, jeez. Anyways, we're back. We'll talk to Ian Rapport in about 2 minutes about what's going on. Hopefully, no kicks to the head tonight for Jarvis Landry and anybody like that.
Yeah.
My real question, though, AJ, listen, and I might be out of line for asking this. The Baker Mayfield thing, torn labrum, they're resting him tonight. What? Because why?
Maybe just to buy him some time to say, hey, if you get 7 to 10 days, will it calm down enough to where you can play? Or if it doesn't, then you'll have to get the surgery.
Yeah, because they said that the expected to need surgery on his torn labrum following this season is the idea. Now, I wonder if that's Baker Mayfield pushing back on that so much.
Yes, I would bet it is Baker Mayfield saying, no, I'll just get it after the season. They easily could say, I don't know. I doubt they probably want him to give it a shot, I'm sure.
Well, no, I don't know if they do, because this was the big conversation earlier in the week, is that Baker wanted to play. Baker very much wanted to play, even though it is an incredibly painful injury. Baker wanted to be out there. The doctors, the team, everybody had to make this decision for him or whatever. But it's not like that labrum's going to heal by next week. And this injury, it's going to get inflamed every single time it gets hit, I'd assume, if it's anything like anybody else's torn labrum. It is. That's going to be, I guess, because it's just 4 days, so it didn't have a chance to go all the way down like it would in a normal week, and maybe they're just giving him an extended week. But he's going to be in pain all year. This is going to be something that's going to hurt like a motherfucker all year for him.
Yeah, and it depends on how much of it is torn and how bad it is. You know, people have gotten MRIs when they're like, oh, I guess I got a torn labrum, where they didn't know it. Like, that's a different case than what that Baker had. Baker hits, like subluxes or whatever, right? And that's what starts to tear it more. Is that what happens?
Yeah, you said that there were some people that had torn labrums that didn't even know it?
Yeah, they get an MRI on something on their rotator cuff, and they saw that the guy's like, oh, I got a torn labrum, too. We got to clean that up.
Oh, so this is like the people, there's some people that can operate with no ACL or a torn ACL.
Yeah, I think, like, depending on where it is, also, like, and how much of it is gone or torn, I think that it's a huge deal.
Why do humans make those
things? His is, like, completely torn, yeah, though. And full. I think that's, like, one of the issues is, like, if he does continue to play, like, he might really, really get hurt.
Well, he's already really, really hurt. He's already going to have surgery, labrum surgery. Joining us now is somebody who probably knows more about it, definitely knows more about this than we do. A man who's been breaking all the news out of Cleveland today in anticipation for tonight's Thursday night football game, which we have a risk-free same-game parlay that's a plus 771 that we guarantee is going to hit, even though we don't know who's going to play. Insider for the NFL and NFL.com, ladies and gentlemen, Ian Rappaport.
Yeah,
what's up?
What's going on, dude?
Did you hit last week?
Dude. All right. Listen, you shut your mouth.
I'm just wondering.
No, you're not wondering. You know. You knew what happened. And this week, it's supposed to be better. But I'll tell you what. The bullshit tweets from the insiders about who's playing and who's not playing isn't helping us, Ian. What is going on with the Browns? Are these all last-second decisions that are going on? Is there real conversation happening about who's going to play, who's not going to play, or do they already know?
I would say mostly, you know, sometimes on Sundays you really don't know. Like, there's always a couple players on Sundays who get out there, test it out, and you're like, all right, I can play or I can't play. Thursday night, I think you probably know, which is why, I mean, the Browns did the smart thing, ruled out Baker Mayfield yesterday because, you know, he met with the doctors yesterday morning. He knew. I think, you know, it sounds like Jedrick Wills probably goes. Sounds like Conklin probably not. Sounds like Odell probably not. Now for him,
but that's what you're saying. Probably, like, sounds like.
Let me explain the Odell thing. He wants to go very badly.
Okay.
And so I believe the team is trying to do him a solid and give him every opportunity to go because he wants to play. It is a painful injury. Sometimes you can play with it. Sometimes you cannot. So I don't think he goes, but I would also not rule him out because he very much wants to play.
So what about Baker? What happens after this game? Is he playing next game, and is he going to last the whole season?
He is expected to play next game from what I know. He's going to spend the next, let's say, 9 days or so working on that labrum, kind of tightening it up. He's going to wear that harness on his left side, so he should be able to go. You know, last week going down with that kind of weird fall, which I'm sure you've seen, with his arm kind of extended, where his shoulder popped in and out again, it did not help, and I would imagine it probably created more damage. And, you know, it's too fast. Like, from Sunday to Thursday, it's tender, it's sore, it's swollen, it's just too fast. But then the other question is way more complicated. Does he make it through the season? I could easily say yes, because he's going to tighten it up, he'll rehab well, deal with the pain, and he'll be okay. The problem is, like, how many more times are we going to do this?
What the fuck are you talking about? Tighten up a torn labrum?
So basically, no. Like, you secure. Here's, and I'm obviously a doctor. you know, it's not going to repair the labrum, but you're going to strengthen the everything around it to make it at least manageable. Except when you create more damage around it, it makes it more. It makes the ball more susceptible to coming out of the socket thing. So that would be bad. And if he does that again, then he might need surgery early.
Okay, we're going to call you back because you sound a little muffled. It probably is on your end, maybe on ours. I'm not 100% sure. This has happened a couple times. Jonathan Taylor yesterday, yeah, sounded like he was speaking through a megaphone, through the microphone, had to do his entire thing there.
But that got, I mean, Jonathan Taylor got fixed because it was on their end.
It was on their end. The gain was a little bit too high. Now, these are words that only in the back end you speak about, and I almost brought to the live air, but I didn't want to, you know, call anybody out because it could have been on our end. We did all the research.
Maybe Rap Sheet dropped his computer in a fish tank, and
we don't know.
It's a little broken down a little bit.
We have no idea. Uh-huh. By the way, get the rice, dude.
Yeah.
Put that thing in the rice. But we got Zito back there kind of putting that little thing in. Tighten up the labrum, he said. Tighten that thing up. I still don't understand.
Do little band stuff. Oh, he's going to be doing a bunch of little band things in, out, up, doing this thing, you know, trying to tighten up. Yeah. Yeah, good luck.
What if Case Keenum balls out, too? Yeah. What if he throws for 300 and Odell or Jarvis has the best game they've had in a while?
Think about how loud the morning shows will be.
Oh, my God.
Ian, if Ian, you're back, I think. Hey, Ian, how you doing?
I ditched the AirPods. Yeah.
Nah, you sound better. It was probably the AirPods. Maybe it was us, too. Who knows? It might have been the connection. It's the world. It's a crazy place. if Case Keenum balls tonight, everybody on Earth knows how loud it's going to be tomorrow, right? Everybody on Earth expects that and knows that you're talking to?
I don't get it. Do you get this? I mean, am I crazy? Like, I know you're not wrong. Like, if let's say Case Keenum goes out and, you know, the Browns win, I don't know, 28-17 or something like that. You are going to hear the sordid hot takes about how he should be the starter.
Yes, oh yeah. It's going to be loud.
He should not be the starter. Baker is good. He is playing through a torn labrum, as you may or may not have heard me through my stupid AirPods. it's painful. It affects how he throws and his accuracy. To me, unless I am literally crazy, Baker Mayfield is the future starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, just like he's the current starting quarterback. They don't have an extension for him yet, but I would expect him to work on one in the offseason. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. Also, as you know, if you don't have a quarterback, it sucks. It really sucks. So maybe Baker Mayfield isn't Lamar Jackson, but he's probably the like eighth or ninth best quarterback, which you can win a Super Bowl with that.
Okay, and I mean, people will probably put you to the fire to list off those 8 to 9. We will not do that. We'll allow the internet to do such a thing. But whenever you talk about another contract, that's a huge piece of the salary cap, is why everybody is talking about this. But if you look at, like, the Lions, for instance, they had Jim Caldwell come in there, win out of nowhere, then they fired him because he didn't win enough. It's like the Browns have that quarterback jersey that has 7,000 names on it. They finally win. They get to the playoffs. It would be a very interesting move. They're like, nah, the grass is greener somewhere else. We're going to get another young quarterback. We're going to do this. Andrew Berry has a very difficult decision to make, obviously, because that is going to be more of the salary cap, and they're going to have to go forward. But if you move on from the quarterback that finally won in your town, there's a chance that the football gods will dunk on your fucking head for eternity, don't you think?
Right. You mess up all the karma. Mess up all the good juju. Well, here's the other thing, and it's not just because the Browns have had the, you know, the jersey with all the quarterbacks, which I love. It's also, it's not a good draft for quarterbacks, it sounds like. So, like, I can't just assume the Browns are going to get one. And there are, if you go through the list of the teams that will probably need a quarterback after this year, it's, like, astounding. There's so many. And I don't know where all these quarterbacks are going to come from. So if you're the Browns and you have, again, let's say a quarterback in the top 10, okay? Are you sure you want to let him go and try to get who's behind door number B or whatever? Like, I don't get that.
Well, it'd be letter, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers, huh? Oh.
No. I thought you guys had put him in Pittsburgh.
Yes. Well, no, we didn't put
your show.
Now, Pittsburgh put him in Pittsburgh. I mean,
Aaron
not us.
Did that himself.
We didn't do any. Matt Riddle. Is coming out on a camel.
Home.
All right.
Holy shit.
There's a camel on the screen right now. Riddle's higher than everybody over there, and it's because he's on a camel, not because he's allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to take it over there told. There's insanity happening in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Okay, so can we run through tonight, though, real quick, who's in and who's out? Because we kind of heard you, we kind of didn't. Conklin, out. Conklin's out. Jarvis in. Odell probably out.
And I think Jedrick Wills probably in.
Chubb Hunt out.
Hunt is out. Chubb is out. And this is annoying because this would have been good information earlier in the week, but it sounds like Dearness Johnson, I believe I got that right, is going to be the guy who's going to carry the rock. So that would be someone, if you're into fantasy, that would be someone you might want to pick up. Had I been thinking faster, I might have picked him up, but I didn't.
How many yards do you think Dearness Johnson is going to rush for tonight? You think, and if he doesn't get hot, do you think they'll bring in Felton, or do you think they're going to rely upon Dearness Johnson?
I would imagine this is a hot hand situation because it's not like either running back has proven anything.
Okay.
So when you ask me that, are you asking just for your own personal?
Well, this was a full conversation earlier. What you just said right there was something we talked about earlier, because we were going to put his over in the same game parlay tonight, the risk free same game parlay that will probably have, you know, a few thousand people riding on it that could take millions
and millions
from FanDuel. But after last week's beep 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 situation with Tom Brady, where our same game parlay got got ruined by Neil down an archaic stat that needs to change completely. We were going to have D'Ernest Johnson over rush yards in the same game parlay, but then we thought to ourselves, well, what if Felton gets in? He gets hot. Neither of them really. Are they just going to feed the hot? And that's what you kind of said there. So early when you said, hey, fantasy people, if you want to know about D'Ernest, literally the whole room was like, oh, fuck. No. We had this in there. We talked ourselves out of it. What do you expect from him? Do you think he's a good player? I know nothing about him. I know he's from South Florida. South Florida boys run. I know that. I know he's probably going to eat a little bit.
I don't know enough about him. What I do know is their system is good. And this, the same system that Minnesota is obviously using. And we've seen Dalvin Cook is very good. And then Madison comes in place of Dalvin Cook. He's also good. And with the Browns, you have Chubb, who's good. And then Kareem Hunt comes in, and he's similarly productive.
Like Broncos have the same thing. Mm-hmm. Broncos have split backfield as well, I think.
Yeah, and I think Jamonte Williams is probably not. We'll see what he ends up being. I feel like whoever runs the ball for the Browns is going to be successful enough today to keep them honest and let the offense keep moving. Stefanski does a pretty nice job there.
All right. Ian, what about the reports that were popping up last night about Deshaun Watson heading to Miami to possibly a three-team deal? Is there anything like that you've heard?
We'll start with the Tua part of it. You know, I don't see any three-team deal happening. I don't even know if there's ever been one in the history of the NFL. It would be fun, but that seems more like an NBA/fantasy thing. I also, from what I can tell, believe the Dolphins have not made any calls at all as far as potentially shopping Tua. Like, they don't even know if they're going to get Deshaun Watson, so why would they make any calls to shop Tua? Tua might be their quarterback for the rest of the season. If they do end up getting Deshaun Watson, Tua probably also plays for them anyway for a variety of reasons. You know, I don't know. I would be very surprised if they have done any homework on that, so I certainly don't think a three-team trade is happening.
How come Houston folks are reporting that the trade is a done deal and then everybody outside of Houston saying anything differently? Do you think potentially the Texans organization is trying to float some information that people are getting interested because the trade deadline's coming up and they're trying to make a play?
I don't see why they would need to. I mean, there is interest in Deshaun Watson. That interest has been steady. You know, like there's a couple teams, you know, and it's sort of the teams we've talked about. And I think let's focus on the Miami Dolphins because that was the one that was rumored most in those, you know, reports yesterday. Nothing's done. Nothing's imminent. I know the two sides have talked. This is probably the fourth time that things have heated up and everyone has sort of thought that a trade might happen. And I'm not saying a trade's not going to happen. I'm just saying I don't sense it's imminent at all. It is incredibly complicated. There's the legal, the civil, the compensation, the no trade clause. This is happening at like a snail's pace if it happens. So I saw the reports yesterday and it definitely made me go, wait, is there something I don't know? Because that happens sometimes, believe it or not. But I don't sense anything imminent right now.
Okay, so let's talk about what Howie Roseman allegedly said to somebody. This was another source that said something. Howie Roseman allegedly sent an investigator down to Houston and spoke with Deshaun's legal team and other things like that. And ultimately, in the end, Deshaun did not want to go to Philadelphia. Would that report coming out indicate that maybe off the field things are wrapping up for Deshaun? Because I still don't understand how anybody would be able to trade their franchise to get Deshaun Watson with everything happening off the field. The Howie Roseman alleged source conversation, and I forget where it was. I think we could probably find who actually broke that information. Allegedly, Howie sent an investigator down there and was still interested. What does that say, and is that real?
I can't independently corroborate that, but the Eagles are among the most sort of aggressive. I don't know how to really describe it, but among the most aggressive in investigating things. Like, I am constantly hearing stories of, hey, the Eagles sent their security team, the Eagles sent their investigator. Like, they are very, very proactive. So if that happened, that would definitely make sense. And I think a lot of the teams interested, probably all the teams interested, did the due diligence. If you are going to trade for Deshaun Watson, you would have to be extremely, extremely comfortable in the person and in his culpability and everything that happened. There are still teams interested in trading for Deshaun Watson. So I don't know what's going to happen legally, civilly. Could something get wrapped up? Obviously, it would make sense if a trade would happen for that to be wrapped up, but it's so complicated that I don't know that anything is done at all now. I just know there are teams still interested
despite everything that has gone on and all the headlines off the field.
Do you know how that process works? Like, let's say a team is interested in trading for Deshaun Watson. Do they contact the league first and try to get some kind of feel on what's going to happen with him?
Yes, probably yes. And I don't know.
Is the league obligated to give him information or tell him anything?
They're not obligated, but if, you know, I would assume it would be an owner calling Roger Goodell. Like, that's really who Goodell works with slash works for, right? So you'd think he would be honest about it. But here's the problem. The NFL has not spoken to Deshaun Watson yet, and they're not going to until the police investigation, the criminal investigation, wraps itself up. So whatever the NFL would tell, let's say, an owner, they don't know because they haven't finished their investigation.
They sent Amy down there. Amy was, what was her name?
It was Lisa Friel.
Lisa Friel. Yeah. Lisa Friel. They sent somebody. Didn't the NFL send somebody down there to investigate? And then it hasn't wrapped up its investigation, so they can't give the full opinion because the investigation hasn't ended yet?
They've done several interviews with the alleged victims, and they have not talked to Deshaun, and they have not wrapped up the entire thing because the NFL, one, a lot of times, they're not going to sort of ruin or whatever a police investigation. They're going to wait till that's done and talk to Deshaun then. So it's going to, and that's one of the problems is if, you know, there are some things that theoretically could wrap up by the time that, like a settlement perhaps, by the trade deadline. If that happens, and I don't know that it is, but if it happens, that would make it easier. But there's also something, like there's a deposition that Deshaun is scheduled to, I believe, speak at in like February. So these things take forever.
After the season, yeah, it's insane, especially with how serious the allegations are. That's why it's crazy to think that there is teams that are still interested, and if they know anything, what do they know? How come we don't know that stuff? If you're Deshaun, you would at least think that you would want to get some of that information out if it favors him, because PR-wise, this is terrible, and it sounds like he's potentially a terrible human being, but who knows how it all ends up. Go ahead, Ty.
Rap sheet, yesterday was David Bakhtiari's first day back. I don't think anyone expects him to play this weekend, but do you think he's going to play next Thursday in Arizona? And also, there's been some rumors that Xavien Howard's getting shopped by the Dolphins. I think someone tweeted that he was moving stuff out of a storage locker today. Do you see that happening? I don't know how the Packers would make it financially work, but they've been linked to him as well.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the Packers part of it. So they had some interest in Stephon Gilmore, right? Which obviously would make sense, but they couldn't trade for him because there's too much they would have had to do for the contract to make it work. They probably would have had to extend him and then lower his cap number this year, give him a big bump next year, then you don't know what you're getting. So they were basically out on Stephon Gilmore because they couldn't make it work cap-wise. So like for Xavien Howard, could they make it work? I guess theoretically, because he's got a longer-term deal. Gilmore just had 1 year left, but there would have to be some salary cap and contractual gymnastics to make it happen. The Packers are and have been aggressive, so them being interested wouldn't surprise me. I just know to make it happen would be difficult. I don't know if Xavien Howard was moving things out of his storage locker, but I love these stories so much. It's like when Rodgers did the deep clean, which I believe you guys properly debunked. That was a fantastic storyline for a couple weeks.
Yeah, and the golf course, the country club. Yeah. AJ has to go to actually one of his country club events.
Thanks, AJ.
Thanks, AJ.
Go to hell.
Where's he going, you think? Ian, where do you think he's going? Is there any big-time events that you know about?
He actually left?
He's got to go to a big-time event. He was on from 12 to 1:30 today instead of the normal 1 to 3 because he's got some big-time event to go to.
Wow. Well, I better scour social media to see what he's actually doing. You all right there?
I just turned up the volume real loud in my ears. I mean, it got real loud right there. I mean, just blew out both of my eardrums right there. You know what I mean? That's why you take the AirPods out.
These AirPods, look, they've been through a lot with me. We've been through it, and I think I'm ready for a new pair.
Wow. Well, we could gift you that. Give you a pair. Go ahead, Tom.
Ian, Ronald Jones, Marlon Mack, two talented running backs rumored to be on the trade market. Any idea where they're going?
Ronald Jones is not going anywhere, which makes sense because if the Bucs were going to trade him, they wouldn't get very much for him. It'd be like a late-round pick, but also like – they might need him. Remember, they needed him last year when I think Fournette, it was injury or COVID, I can't remember, but Fournette was out a couple of games. He played. I don't get the sense the Bucs are trading anyone. Maybe trade for a corner, but I don't think they're trading anyone. Marlon Mack could be traded. I could see that. you know, there's some running back needy teams. I mean, the Ravens have been, the Saints lost their number two running back. That would, I think, make some sense. 49ers have had some running back issues, though they're getting a little healthy. That would make some sense. He's not expensive. So it's really just, are you comfortable with where he is physically a year or so after an Achilles? I know everyone says a player is 100%, but, like, you know, it takes like 2 years to be himself. So what you'd be getting may not 100% be what he was originally, but might be good enough.
There's, you know, sparks of greatness. They'll probably get back there. Julian Blackman just
so bad
tore his Achilles after an incredible year last year. The Colts have just run into a litany of issues whenever it comes to the injury front. Get T.Y. back, lose Blackman. Who knows what's going to happen?
But Carson's playing well. I mean, he really is playing well.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he can't move. He can't move. He's actually, like, not able to move because of how messed up his ankles are. So he has to just kind of sit in there. And he's unbelievable whenever he's just throwing and reacting and making plays. It's whenever he's trying to die that is, you know, that's whenever all hell seems to break loose. I think Carson is balling. I really like – the Colts seem to be – Jonathan Taylor's a stud.
Yeah.
T.Y.'s back. Pittman Jr.'s mossing people. The defense seems to be getting the ball a little bit like they were last year. Eberflus maybe has them going. The Colts could be a team that could get going here, but four losses already a little bit of a difficult start. Go ahead, Connor.
Yeah, rap sheet. Is football Richie Bisaccia possibly going to be the long-term head coach for the Raiders? And also, is there any weight to the Hall of Fame or retirement of David Baker, or was that just kind of poorly timed retirement?
All right, the Bisaccia one first. I don't think he's going to be the long-term head coach.
Oh, you don't know. How do you know? What? How do you know? Hey, how do you know? Half football Richie might have it figured out in Vegas, pal.
Yeah, I think
it would be awesome. I like him. Here, can I tell you why I like him? This is a very, very short story. I met him once on a field. I had, like, I think when I was – he walked up to me when I was, like, on the phone with my wife or something like that. So he asked about my family. And I told him about my kids. I had like a six-year-old and a 6-month-old and a 2-year-old. And the next time I saw him, he remembered my kids' names.
How's your family? Yeah. Yeah.
That's Bisaccia. Of course he
did. And now you're saying this guy's got no shot being the head coach. Yeah. Well, they just blew out the Broncos. Josh Jacobs coming like, hey, the sideline is much better with old Bisaccia out here. And you're like, this guy's got no shot.
It would be
a
cool story.
It would be a cool story. You're saying no chance? How come? Do you just think that Mark Davis will make like a splash hire in the offseason or something like that?
No, I think so. I mean, nobody – there's definitely like an inherent bias against the interim. Like, and the times that it's happened, it's only worked for a little bit. There's just not – history does not speak well to the – to the interim coaches. What was the other thing you asked about?
David Baker's retirement. That was very – listen, this is just like the Washington football team. If they had planned that Sean Taylor jersey or number retirement ceremony for a long time and they just decided to drop it in on a Thursday before that Sunday, and then the way it all – with Jackson Mahomes doing his little thing, I mean, that was – terribly handled, okay? The rollout, terribly handled. The PR of it, terribly handled. I think Jay Wright came out and said, listen, we'll do better for the future. The David Baker retirement happening out of nowhere, that made us all with brains go, whoa. This guy's been around a long time. But then he was at the Steelers game talking on a microphone. He was also on NFL Network the other day. So that made us think to ourselves, well, maybe not. What was that just, what happened there? And who's going to be the next person, you think?
It was planned a couple months ago. I don't know. I think it happened. So if I had to guess, I think it was broken. Someone locally, who I can't remember, had it on like that Friday, probably earlier than they had wanted it to come out. And then they had to just announce it because it was out of range. They did it on a Saturday when I was at my son's flag football game, which was very inconvenient.
How's your family?
Every time I see Bisaccia now, that's what I'm going to think of, by the way.
How's your family?
It's your fault.
Hey, listen, you're welcome. That's what you're thinking. He genuinely cares. He'll show up at the wedding of your kid, too, probably an envelope.
Yeah.
And you'll go handle do the rounds.
I was thinking that scene in Goodfellas. Anyway.
That's real life.
I do not believe. I'm not lucky enough to experience that real life. But I did one time play on a travel baseball team with the grandson of Vincent the Chin Gigante.
Oh, the chin, he is not like the way we have spoke about AJ Hawk over the years with the most powerful chin. But yeah, I mean, the Italian community does not get
enough respect, conversation about, and I was very fortunate enough to grow up in a super Italian community, but I don't like that you're burying Bisaccia. You're saying the David Baker thing was planned months in advance and it dropped out of nowhere because some local reporter got it before everybody else. So they were planning probably middle of the season and then they were just going to do back half of the season to look for a new one?
I think they were trying to let all this clear. But tell you what, though, you know, I don't know who's going to be like the head of the Hall of Fame. Like, who knows? But whoever gets the job of knocking on the door and letting people know whether or not they get in the Hall of Fame, like, that's an amazing job. That has to be one of the more, like, high-profile jobs in the NFL. You could do that.
No, that ain't for me. I ain't knocking on any doors and making any dreams come true. That sounds like a job for Ian Rappaport.
That should
be your job. That's like your thing, isn't it? Fly around, knock on doors, situations as opposed to uncomfortable. There'll be celebrations when they see you. How about it?
Everybody hugs me like I really did something. Like I would be a shoulder to cry on.
Body disparity is way too different. True. Can't do it.
Yeah, shoes. Visually. They would have to Siciliano him into the shoes of David Baker.
Both of his feet in one shoe.
They'd pick him up. They'd pick him up and drop him into David Baker's seat. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Get a stepladder.
He's massive.
Rappaport would just be sitting there. Welcome to the whole thing. He is a large dude, that guy.
He's a big man.
He's a large man. We appreciate you for stopping by, and this is one of our favorite days, especially now because we know nothing about tonight. We already put in our same game parlay. Would have been nice if you gave us some of the information before we had our council meeting this morning, but we appreciate every time you stop by, Ian.
I wish you a lot of luck tonight, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Not luck, good fortune.
Thank you. Good fortune. Good luck. All of those things are needed and appreciated, especially for this risk-free same-game parlay that's definitely going to hit tonight, plus 770-something, ladies and gentlemen. Host of the weekly wrap-up with Rap Sheet and Friends, Ian Rappaport, the Rap Sheet in Rap Sheet and Friends. Thank you. Rap Sheet! Joining us now is the host of the Calm Down podcast, alongside Aaron Andrews.
Wow.
Let's go.
My wife is actually a frequent listener of said podcast. Said she loves it, especially in the sports world, that she is now fully in. Wasn't always. My wife wasn't always fully in. Love the Colts. Love football. Now she is kind of, I don't want to say obligated before us, but she feels as if she has to get into sports, which I appreciate her doing. So it makes our everything much better. Loves this podcast. You can hear her on Fox NFL Kickoff on Sundays and throughout the entire day as she gives updates on all the other Fox games around the country. Ladies and gentlemen, Carissa Thompson.
Yeah! Guys, that is quite the intro. Thank you. You know what? We have merchandise, too.
Oh! Hey, the merch game's real. You got to do that.
Right now, though, I didn't know that we were going to dress alike today.
Oh!
You know what? I was going to leave the jacket on because I was like, it's too early for the gun show, but you're here, I'm here. People are getting shot in the face. I mean, why not?
Figuratively.
That is true. That is fascinating that you did catch the tail end of that conversation about what could happen in team meeting rooms. And I appreciate your reaction to the intro. Aaron Andrews just fucking attacked me as soon as I got. I gave her an entire, I thought it was a great intro. Like, hey, here we're talking about one of the, you know, greatest of all time here. And she, just calling me, blah, blah, blah. So I'm happy that you enjoyed the intro because we are big fans of yours around here.
Well, I appreciate that. In fact, you can make this entire interview an intro as far as I care. I mean, let's go back to, I used to host a rodeo show.
Whoa.
What else did I do? Yeah, NASCAR. I love it.
Okay, so let's talk about how you landed in football then. Was football always dream destination, or were you just any sport? How did you get to where you are now? Because I did not know you were, we did not do enough research. Did not do enough research.
Wikipedia said that I was a trapeze. I'm putting the jacket on because it was fun to be twins for a second, but it's cold in here. The Wikipedia at one point said I was a trapeze performer, I also interviewed trapeze artists. So I remember I went on a date with this guy, and he was like, that's fascinating that you're a trapeze performer. And I was like, I am? He goes, yeah, Wikipedia said that. I go, that's where we're getting our research?
Oh,
that's weird.
We do.
Well, that is where we get our research. We did not read that on the Wikipedia, but I would like to let you know that that particular dude probably did the same thing as us, and we will be better. We will be better. Go ahead, AJ.
You mentioned NASCAR and all the different things that you have done, like in the broadcasting world. What was something that surprised you that was actually really cool that you thought maybe, all right, how do I get this assignment?
a rodeo show. I was like, first of all, I'm 5'8", so I am towering over these people to begin with. Rodeo, like the rodeo circuits, like NASCAR drivers, they're much smaller. Similar to my time in Hollywood. I was like, all of these people.
That was a good joke.
But, yeah, I would host this rodeo show, and it was a competition called Toughest Cowboy, and it was bareback, saddle, bronc, and bull riding, and usually you specialize in one, but these guys had to do all three. And I remember I interviewed this dude afterwards, and he was all jacked up. He's like, woo, like screaming. I go, you know you lost, right? He's like, I did. I'm like, yeah, you lost. But it was a different experience. It was fun, though. You know, I started in sports, though, because I worked in HR, which is a terrible idea for me because I'm a violation in every capacity.
Nice.
But yeah, that's, I always wanted to be like Aaron. Aaron and I share a lot of things. Our birthday's the same. We've always wanted to be a sports broadcaster, our love for our father, all the things. But yeah, I wanted to get into sports. And so the only available position at Fox Sports was in the human resource department. So I lied to get the interview. I was like, I love working with people and all this stuff. And then I ended up becoming a production assistant and then worked my way on air by working when I went to Colorado. Who cares about all this? Let's go back to...
No. This is good. This is good stuff because that goes back to the old narrative. I think Adam Schefter told us this on the show. If you're looking to get into TV or whatever, do whatever you can to get into the building. Just get into the building, and then once you get there, you can kind of prove yourself to everybody. That's all you should do. And it sounds like acting like you'd be good in H&R is good. We got an H&R department.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
We got an H&R department.
Oh, nice. We're doing H&R. H&R Block? Is that what
you're talking about? No. Human and resources, okay? Because it's about both of those things.
That's right.
That really is what it's about. And happy birthday to you and EA, by the way.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. We missed a couple. We apologize.
That's also on Wikipedia.
Well, it could be wrong, though. We don't do our research on Wikipedia. We're not like those other assholes.
No.
Not us. We're not like that at all. But you, now, today, Fox NFL kickoff show. That is... huge way to start a lot of Sunday for a lot of people. But then all day you're sitting, are you sitting in like a room with just a microphone and then they tell you like, hey, you need to do an update here? Because you pop in the middle of all these games around the country. How do you guys pick and choose what you're going to update people with? And that seems like that would be a very long and maybe monotonous job sitting there. And I might be wrong in reading this thing, but that seems like something that I would not be able to do, I don't think.
Oh, well, you could do it for sure. And I actually love it because it's the best way to consume and study for the next week's show. You're watching all the games. I mean, if you don't know what's happening and you're watching all the games, then I should go get a different gig. But I just sit on the same set that we do our show on. And yeah, you have a monitor of all the games. And I work with a producer, and he decides, it makes sense to, we're going to update the NFC North. Like, if the, Packers and the Bears are playing, we'll take a Minnesota highlight in to update the NFC North. So kind of go division by division, or whoever someone's playing the next week, or whoever just played last week. So there is kind of a method to it, but, any of the big games that are happening or overtimes or exciting endings go into all games.
Hey, I don't want to jinx you, but it seems like you've been batting a perfect game too when you drop into the middle of those games.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for saying that. But last week I threw back to the wrong crew and my boss walked in and I go, yeah, I just kind of fucked that up. I just threw it back to the wrong crew. And he goes, don't worry about it. No one's listening. I've never done that in my life. Aaron and I were texting. And as we do, like, she'll be working a game, and we're, like, texting, and I'm doing highlights, and I'm texting. She's like, aren't you doing a highlight? I'm like, I can multitask. I'm a woman. We're good here. Oh. But, yeah, I threw it to the wrong crew, and, again, I've never done that. But I was like, whoa, okay, cool. Adam. Let's throw it back to Adam Amin or Kevin Burkhardt. I'm not sure who's in the booth.
That's awesome. Either way, like you said, well, I'm sure there's plenty of people listening.
But yeah, we heard it. Yeah, we heard it. But aside from that, we thought that was fucking awesome. You know, I thought it was good content. Good content. Go ahead, AJ.
Hey, what about Red Zone? You talk about managing traffic. Could you ever see yourself being one of the hosts of Red Zone? Like, I sit there and watch them. Like, aren't they standing there for 7 hours straight and trying to manage all of that? Is that something you would want to do?
Yeah, I would love it. Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's any. Look, we all have great gigs. And so watching football on a Sunday and doing highlights, like, I'm good. Whatever you want, throw it at me.
Okay, so rodeo, NASCAR, Fox NFL kickoff, in-game updates. What is like the end goal? Do you have an end goal or you just want to keep kind of doing your thing?
I'm like the bull rider. I'm just holding on until I get bucked off. You know, this has been 13 years in this bad boy. We can all sit here and, you know, bitch about this or that, but these are great gigs and we know that they don't come around very often. So I feel very lucky to just, you know, work in any capacity.
You crush
it. Jalen Rose told me one time, and I'll never forget this. He said, appreciate your position, but plan your promotion. In that idea where, you know, we all don't know where we're going to go. And so as long as we still have a job and as long as we, you know, aspire to do a decent job at it, then we're cool.
So what's the promotion? What's the promotion, though? Do you want to call games? Do you want to – what is next, do you think?
Well, I don't like to say what's next because that feels like I'm disregarding what I'm doing now. I mean, for me, it's more about just doing other stuff outside of even sports, like the business side of things. I started an interior design company during COVID.
Let's go,
yeah.
Guys, look, do you want to talk about Cover 2 or do you want to talk about covers? A duvet cover.
I need a new duvet.
And bring it all together here.
From Cover 2 to Covers, Carissa joining us here on SiriusXM Channel 82, Mad Dog Sports Radio, YouTube.com/The Pat McAfee Show. Your favorite thing the NFL has added, done, or got rid of?
Dude, I'm over taunting. Let's get rid of that right now. It's coming up already. That rule's got
to
go.
I think it is gone, isn't it, though? It's kind of like early they overreacted to it, but now it's kind of gone, isn't it?
I was talking to Dean Blandino about this in the green room the other day where he thinks that next year they'll, you know, similar to the excessive celebration after, you know, touchdowns and stuff, that they'll bring that down. But that's just stupid to begin with. Like, even when they proposed that or they told us that that was going to be a rule this year, everyone's like looking around like, what? So I'm not into that. But
do you guys have any say over there at the big network? Like Fox has a lot of games. Do you guys have any say in anything? Do you feel as if you guys have any sway in anything that happens in the NFL?
No. We're just happy to be there. The NFL rules all. You know that.
They do, and they use that in negotiation with everybody.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, I don't know if my time's up here.
No.
I was in Vegas yesterday because I like to have 17 jobs in case one goes away for extra. And the story that you told on Monday night with Peyton and the 18 black, was it red or black?
Black. Red 18. Oh,
Red
18.
I do the exact same thing. I'll go walk straight into the casino, 23 red every single time. I've never hit immediately. I mean, I've hit 23 red, but not like in a walk-off fashion like you did.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. I wouldn't have hit because I had chips on literally every other one other than 18, and that would have been where I would have been. But him coming up, obviously, you know, that whole thing, we moved it. It wasn't me, I'm saying. It's Monday night fucking Manning guy. You know what I mean? He's unbelievable. Go ahead, Ty.
Carissa, I saw this somewhere, and it definitely wasn't your Wikipedia, but I believe you're from the Pacific Northwest, like Seattle. Do you have like an association with the Seahawks? Or like when you get to Fox, do they basically say like, hey, there's no room for like your fandom here? Like, do you have to be very fair and balanced when you're doing stuff on Sundays? Or do you still kind of have an allegiance to some teams or players?
Well, that's a great question. No, Fox doesn't care at all. Fox actually sent me to Seattle one time to do a whole feature on the 12th man. Like, this is where they're great. Like, it's, you know, Howie can root for the Raiders. Charles can root for the Raiders. Terry can
Packers.
Be a homer or Packers. Take your pick. He can be a homer about, you know, Pittsburgh. So, yeah, no, they're cool like that. They don't care.
Go ahead, Tom.
Carissa, who is a better time to go out and get some drinks with? Is it Pereira or is it Glazer?
Oh, that's a toss-up. Glazer can throw down more than Pereira can, but offside, sometimes Pereira gets, you know, a little crazy. But yeah, I'd say if I have to put my money on one, I'm going Glazer all day.
What was that offsides talk there about Pereira?
Well, I mean, where do we want to go? Throw a flag and talk about it.
That's great. Go ahead, Connor.
Hey, he is Portuguese. He's a wild card, you know. That's what they say. Whoa. Carissa, we've been doing a lot of talking about the game tonight. Do you have any sort of insight on who's playing, who's not playing, and who's going to win?
With what? With who?
The game tonight.
There's so many question marks, Carissa, that nobody knows shit. Nobody knows anything.
This is where we should text Erin, considering she's working the game. All I know is that my money's on the Broncos. Is Cleveland even have a team?
Are you texting Erin? Right, like, yeah. We can't. This isn't like something we can do. I don't think this is.
No, do you want me to ask her who's in, who's out? We need a full update.
Yeah,
that'd be fantastic.
Oh, my money's on the Broncos.
Oh, you're picking the Broncos tonight. How about Jarvis? Are you going to play?
Let's go. Let's go to Aaron for more.
Breaking news. Jarvis Landry is in tonight. It has been made official via Ian Rappaport. The Browns have activated wide receiver Jarvis Landry to the active roster, and he'll play today. He was dealing with an MCL sprain. Look for Jarvis to get loose tonight. Iron is getting back. The juice is loose out there. The beast doing his thing. How do you think it is for Aaron? You say you'll text Aaron. She knows so much about everything, she can't talk about it. How does that happen, you think? And do you have any of that where you know a bunch of shit, but you're not allowed to say it? And how do you balance it? Because as soon as I hear it, it comes right out. I don't know how anybody can do this secret information shit.
No, I know. You and I are cut from the same cloth. That's why they probably don't give us as much information as they give the other folks that are good enough to vet that out. No, I just say it, which is probably why I get in trouble sometimes. But no, unless somebody's saying, you know, directly from the player themselves, like, hey, don't say anything, then I wouldn't violate the trust that I have there. But, you know, this is an information business. Get it out there.
Yeah, bingo. Me too. I got
if you ain't first, you're last, you know, Pat?
Hey, bingo. Now, it turns out at the end of that movie, he does say, no, there's a whole bunch of places.
Yeah. He was high when he said that.
Yeah, I was high. But you're right. It did motivate me as well, that particular saying. Go ahead, AJ.
Hey, Chris, who are some of your favorite coaches in the league that you get to interact with, that you get to talk to or interview?
Well, this is a perfect example of me throwing Rod Marinelli under the bus. I worked that Detroit season, 0-16, because it was one of my first years doing sidelines. So there comes a point where you're like, and I was on the Z crew. I just started. So every week I was in Detroit. And after a while, it's like, dude, what adjustments are we going to make at halftime? Like, you can only ask the question so many times. And I think it was week 14, doesn't matter, still losing. And I was like, so coach. And he's like, that's a great perfume you're wearing. I'm like, we're good. I'm going to make up this report. It's fine. I made up the report. I just made up something. I was like, oh, yeah, says, you know, by the way, half those reports, you're like, okay, we got to cut down the penalties. We got to stop, you know, we got to tackle better. You could just package that report, and no one's going to be like, hey, I didn't say that. No.
What? Did anybody get Rod any backlash on his either incredible halftime adjustments that didn't work that potential week, or maybe his lack of them? What did you make up? Something hilarious? Did you say anything like, well, look for him in the second half. Maybe go for it every fourth down, kick it off.
Yeah, I was like, don't buy CK1. Get Tom Ford, Black Cherry. I don't know.
Chris,
some coaches. Herm Edwards was a coach when I was with the Chiefs when I was doing sidelines, and he was always a beauty to talk to. Just high energy people. I'm into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris, we appreciate you so much for stopping by. We're going to get the mug.
Yeah,
we're going
to
get the Calm Down mug.
Yeah, Aaron and I will send you guys some.
No, we'll buy it. We support the biz. We appreciate that. Yeah, we support.
Swipe up.
We appreciate
swipe
you.
Up.
Ladies and gentlemen, swipe up. Carissa Thompson. So, incredibly sorry to interrupt, but I want to let you know that learning to code might be the easiest way to change your career. That might sound crazy, but I'm being 100% serious. Coding is this word that sounds incredibly difficult, but there is a company now that is ready to teach you how to code in a beautiful, efficient manner, and that can change your career, your trajectory forever. And that's when you learn with Codecademy. Codecademy is the best way to learn code online. They not only teach you the job, ready coping skills, but also help you build unique projects for your portfolio, earn certificates, and even prep for technical interviews. You can get qualified for in-demand jobs in as little as 2 months. Learn at your own pace and at your own level. Choose what to learn, from building websites to analyzing data and everything else you could want. Learn coding languages like Python, SQL, that's SQL, JavaScript, and more. Not sure where to begin? Codecademy will point you in the right direction. Get instant feedback. Your code is tested as soon as you submit it, so you always know if you're on the right track or not. Land your dream job in web development, programming, computer science, data science, and tons more. It is the wave of the future, and you can learn how to code with our friends at Codecademy. Join the millions and millions of people learning to code with Codecademy and see where coding can take you. Change your life. Change your job. Change your future.
Learn how to code with our friends at Codecademy and get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership when you go to Codecademy.com and use promo code PAT. That's promo code PAT at Codecademy.com to get 15% off your Codecademy Pro. The best way to learn code, Codecademy.com, promo code PAT. Let's get back to the show. Cam, thank you enough for allowing us to penetrate your ear holes. All right. I know there's a lot of other options out there. The fact you allow us to be a part of your day-to-day, I am eternally grateful for it. Thanks to all the boys for their effort, Carissa for her time, Ian Rappaport, AJ Hawk, and all of you. And let's hit this risk-free same-game parlay tonight on FanDuel, shall we? Let's hit this thing. Let's go and do this thing. And let's celebrate tomorrow. Be a friend, tell a friend if you like this show. If not, just act like it never happened. Ty, please play some independent music and propel these people into a beautiful night where we will hit this risk-free same-game parlay and celebrate tomorrow for a feel-good Friday. Cheers.